Thank you so much, David, for reading for us. As you've already heard mentioned, if you happen to have missed last week or you're a visitor here, we have begun a new series called Forever Changed, and we're looking at different characters who have had their lives changed. And I think there's a quote that I read recently that really, for me, sums up what this series is about. It's by Max Lucado, and he's, "God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus." And so over the next little while, we're going to be exploring people who have become more like Jesus, who have had their lives changed. This morning, we obviously, as you have probably realized, we're looking at the character Zacchaeus. Ryan's already introduced us. And it is a familiar story, so I'd love you to just bow your head with me this morning as we just pray and ask God to come and help us. Lord, we pray that today, in this familiar story, that we wouldn't fail to see Jesus because we think we know the story. Lord, we pray that you would come by your Holy Spirit, and that you would speak afresh into our hearts and into our lives. Lord, we invite you into our homes and our lives today. So come by your Spirit, Lord, and speak to each of us. For we ask it in your name. Amen. Amen. If Hollywood were to produce a movie of your life, who would you like to play you? I'm going to give you a minute to talk to the person near you or beside you. Please don't get out of your seat and please don't take your mask off, but whoever's nearest, who would you choose as the actor to be you? Okay, I hope you've gone for some real A-listers. I just want to say, undoubtedly, if there was a movie to be made about Sam Wright, it would have to be George Clooney, right? Do you say, like, twins or what? Like, separated at birth?
Sure it's not John Cleese?
Definitely not John Cleese. George Clooney, for sure. I mean, I'd be happy just with someone kind of average like Megan Fox. Like, can you see a kind of similarity there? But I wonder then, if there was a movie to be made about Zacchaeus, who would be the actor? I think it would have to be someone like Danny DeVito. You can see why, can't you? Like, they always play up that aspect of Danny DeVito. It's his height, and it's always comical. So you can imagine. That's who we'd pick for Zacchaeus. Because that's the thing that comes to our mind. Already Sam has had us singing that song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. That's the thing that stands out. Initially, it's the thing that we know about the story. It's like the thing, the most prominent feature for us. And actually, we have to be careful that we don't just reduce this passage to this kind of funny, maybe cute little story where this short little man kind of climbs into a tree and then it ends in a nice dinner where Jesus and Zacchaeus become friends. But actually, it is that, but it's so much more than that, because in the 10 short verses that David read for us this morning, an incredible act of salvation takes place. This man is utterly transformed. And so at the beginning of this story, we're introduced to Zacchaeus, who is, to put it bluntly, he's a cheat. He is a cheating tax collector. He's not honest, he's not particularly nice, and no one likes him. And by the end of the 10 verses, the story ends with a man who is honest, who is generous, who is rejoicing. And that all happens in 10 short verses. How does it happen? How does change like that, change so dramatic, how does it happen? Well, like last week, and as we'll discover throughout the rest of this series, it happens when Jesus comes near. When we encounter Jesus, our lives are changed forever. Zacchaeus had two main problems in his life before he met Jesus. He had too much treasure and not enough love. And that's what we're going to explore this morning, how Jesus met with him saw those problems in his life, and he remedied them, and he changed his life forever. We're going to look at this idea that he didn't have enough love. It was a huge issue for Zacchaeus. He's living in Jericho, which is a pretty busy place, right? There's a pretty big population, a lot of people around, but Zacchaeus is not someone surrounded by friends. He's not popular. Actually, he's hated by his own community. Just to kind of, I suppose, spell it out in terms of what his job was, if the Roman Empire was kind of divided up into like areas, maybe like council areas for us, so it's divided up and then auctioned off to tax collectors. So the Romans are like, well, you can pay us if you would like to collect the taxes, you can pay us. So you had to pay a fee to Rome to have that role. And then you went round and collect all the taxes, but you would literally, if you're the tax collector, you would literally shake people down. Because, as Ryan pointed out, you would want the taxes that are due to Rome. Then you have to pay your fee back to Rome for having that position, so you need to get some money out of them for that. And then you need to make a profit, so you need to add some money to that. And so that's literally what Zacchaeus did. And he was a chief tax collector, so he's a very, very wealthy man. He's made a lot of profit. It's totally unregulated. As Ryan pointed out this morning, when it comes to kind of tax return time, I just dread that. I dread the forms and the paperwork and all the rest of it. Thank goodness for accountants. But actually, that's all regulated and everything has to be perfect. Everything has to be to the letter. This, in this scenario, it's totally unregulated. Literally, Zacchaeus can charge whatever he wants and the people know that. And so they know that he's skimming a little bit off the top for himself, maybe more than a little bit. And there's nothing they can do about it. There's no law to protect them. There are no regulations to protect them. And the tax collectors were raking it in. And that system works really well if you're a tax collector, because you can literally set your own fee. And it works well for Zacchaeus until he looks around and he realizes he is the loneliest man in that place because he has no one. And so this movie of Zacchaeus' life of Danny DeVito is the star. The soundtrack is going to be something like Celine Dion's song, All By Myself. He literally is alone. And he knows the reason. He knows why people don't love him. He knows that he has sold out his community for the sake of money. He has sold out his country and his God for wealth. Everyone else looks at him and they know what he's done. And so he lives with that stigma. Everybody knows what a tax collector is about. And so he lives knowing that as people look at him, they're judging him constantly. He lives with that stigma. And actually in the Bible, tax collectors pretty much always appear in the list of sinners. When there's a group of sinners listed, tax collectors are there. They're always put in beside prostitutes. And actually, those two groups pretty much kind of hung around together because the only friends that they each had was each other. Tax collectors could afford prostitutes, to put it bluntly, and for those tax collectors who are hated and have no other friends, at least if a prostitute will be a friend, it's someone. And so that's the state that Zacchaeus' life is in. He's lonely and unloved. And so when we meet him, he's that Jewish tax collector. He's hated. He's a sellout. That's what people think of him. He's a Jew. You're a sellout. Taking money out of the temple for yourself. And so he's on the fringes. He's on the outside of the community. He's not accepted. He's not loved. And so this is a man who's used to being removed from community. This is a man who's used to being on the outside, who's used to being rejected and alone. He's probably just resigned himself to that. That's just who I am. It's kind of part and parcel of this role. So imagine his delight, as he is probably feeling just so lonely at times. Imagine his delight when he hears this kind of muttering that there's this teacher coming to town. There's this rabbi who isn't preaching against tax collectors, but actually he's the man who's saying, actually, people like Zacchaeus can be loved. Imagine how that feels for Zacchaeus. As he's thinking, well, this is new. I've never heard this before. No one's ever said that God could love me. Probably never met a rabbi. I don't think anyone at this stage had met a rabbi like that. Because actually most of them at that stage were making Zacchaeus like the target of their sermons and not the object of their love. They weren't supporting him. And so he climbs a tree to catch a glimpse of this man. Now just imagine how ridiculous that is, because it's just like, yeah, he climbed a tree. Imagine Danny DeVito in a dress climbing a tree, right? That this is how ridiculous this is. He's this very wealthy man, so he's probably very well dressed, like flowing robes and all sorts. He's very tiny, and he's climbing a tree. Either it's childish or he's a lunatic. People are thinking, as if they don't think a little enough of him, they're thinking, what is he doing now? What is he up to? And in this packed out, crowded street, loads of people, because everybody wants to see Jesus at this stage, coming into the peak of his ministry, and they're all wanting to catch a glimpse. And so Zacchaeus is kind of hiding, and it's quite a leafy tree, so he's not very obvious. He's kind of maybe just peeking through, thinking, who is this guy? And in this crowded place, Jesus just looks up and he says, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to come to your house. So imagine Zacchaeus, who's not spoken to by anybody. It's like, me? Me? But how does he know my name? And in this moment, as Jesus speaks to him, it's like a moment that's never happened to him before. It changes him. As Jesus speaks his name, kind of makes Zacchaeus the center of attention in a positive way for maybe the first time ever. And so Zacchaeus, who's used to being pointed out and jeered at, Jesus is like, I want to talk to you. I want to come to your house. Will you come down? And in that moment, as Jesus calls out Zacchaeus' name, he is fully known and fully loved. Like never before. Like no one else has ever known or loved him. He is fully known and fully loved. And I just want to say that to you. Maybe sometimes you think you blend into the crowd. Maybe it's been a long time since you were at church. And you're thinking, I just need to kind of slip in and not be noticed. Maybe actually the mask thing is helpful for you. You think, I just wear a mask and no one looks at me, no one really talks to me. I can just slip in and kind of gauge what's happening. And I want you to know today that if that is you, you are fully known and fully loved by God today. You cannot slip into his presence. And so this story for me is just this huge reminder that God sees you where you are, as you are, for the person that you are. Here's the thing we need to know about Jesus. He's not into social niceties and passing the time of day with people. So you can imagine he's not like, oh, nice to see you, Zacchaeus, hope you're well, moving on. When God turns up, he wants in, and he wants all in. Jesus is an all or nothing kind of savior. And so when you encounter him, he's coming right into all the messy stuff. He literally invites himself into Jesus, into Zacchaeus' home. He says, I'm coming to eat with you. And that doesn't get much more personal in that culture. And actually, probably the only people who ever ate with Zacchaeus were other tax collectors or prostitutes, sinners. And so here's this rabbi who says, I'm coming to eat with you. Imagine Zacchaeus' shock. Me? But no one eats with me, so why would you? And the truth is that Jesus wants to come into the mess of our lives. It's like that Max Lucado quote, he loves us as we are. Now, he refuses to leave us that way, but he just loves you in this moment as you are, with all the baggage that you bring. Whatever state your heart is in today, he sees you and he loves you as you are. And actually, that is so transformative that by the end of this dinner, Zacchaeus, who had been operating as a lone wolf with no friends, has received Jesus not only into his home, into his heart, and everything has changed. Everything. Just by letting Jesus into the mess. And so he's forever changed. He's changed by Jesus. He's changed by what it means to be fully known and fully loved. That totally impacts his heart and his life. Have you ever had an experience like that? And I hope that you have. If you haven't until this stage, I hope today is the day that you literally feel the eyes of God look at your very soul and say, you are loved. You. Yes, you. You are loved. It's like when you feel that, it's like you can finally exhale. All the baggage that you're holding on to, all the stuff that you've been carrying, you've been trying to just keep it together, and you can just breathe in his presence because he sees it and he still loves you. And so Jesus remedies that first problem that Zacchaeus has, that he has no love in his life. He doesn't know what it means to be loved. And so Jesus comes in, he just loves him as he is, and he changes his life. One dinner with Jesus, and Zacchaeus is more loved and accepted than he ever has been in his life. And so he's loved by that experience of being seen and known and loved. Zacchaeus' second problem then is that he has too much treasure. There is one person who particularly has made an absolute fortune out of this past year. Anybody know who this guy is? Do you know Michael? Yeah, Jeff Bezos, who is the CEO of Amazon. He is a very, very, very wealthy man. I think he's worth an estimated something like £145 billion. What would you do with £145 billion? I don't even know how many zeros that is. It's a lot. That's a lot of money. And so the temptation, even when I read that, I was thinking, whoa, what would I do with $145 billion? That's the temptation for us. What would I do with all that stuff? But here's what I really get from this story of Zacchaeus. All the money in that man's bank account cannot buy the freedom that I experience in knowing Jesus. All the money in the world can't buy the experience that I have in knowing Jesus. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship, and in that book he said this: earthly possessions dazzle our eyes and delude us into thinking that they can provide security and freedom from anxiety, yet all the time they are the very source of anxiety. When we first meet Zacchaeus, he is dazzled by money. He is dazzled by it. It's like, for him, it's like, that's what I need. That's his aim and goal in life. Zacchaeus, as we kind of looked at that lack of love in his life, he has a huge void. He lacked love. He lacked acceptance. And so this void in his life, he's like, well, I'm going to fill it. It's what every human who does not know Jesus is programmed to do. We fill the void for ourselves. We fill it with stuff. And so Zacchaeus is like, well, if I'm not loved and I don't have friends, I'll just get more money. That'll make me happy. If I just have more money, I'll feel better. And actually what I discovered in the story of Zacchaeus is that when we meet Jesus and when we experience the grace and the mercy and the love and the forgiveness that he offers, basically everything else I think that I have accumulated in this life is worth nothing. It's worth nothing in comparison to what Jesus offers. I'm going to ask you, is there something dazzling you at the moment? Is there something catching your attention? Is there something that you think, if only I had a little bit more of that, my life would be better? If only I had that thing, my life would be better. And it may be money for you. You think, if I had just a little bit more money, I would feel a little bit more secure, I'd be happier. But it may be a relationship, it may be a friendship, it may be a status or a job or a promotion. Whatever that is, you're thinking, oh, if only I had that. That's the thing that dazzles you. All of it amounts to nothing in comparison to what Jesus offers. But we need to be aware that it can stand in the way. It can literally dazzle us. For Zacchaeus, it's like a light bulb moment. He meets Jesus and he has this huge moment of like joy and love and acceptance in his life. And he thinks, I couldn't be happier. But in his mind, he's like, well, what about the money? What am I going to do about that now? Because actually, I can't have both things. I need to get rid of this. He says, you know what? I've experienced something glorious today. I've experienced something I've never experienced before in my life. I'm just loved. Jesus loves me. And he's speaking to me. He's chosen me. Do you know what? The huge stack of cash that I have, I need to get rid of it. Because if he had held on to the money, he couldn't have followed Jesus. And he couldn't have followed Jesus closely. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this in that book, The Cost of Discipleship. The heart clings to collected treasure. Stored up possessions get between me and God. Where my treasure is, there my trust, my security, my comfort, my God. What is your treasure this morning? What's the thing that preoccupies your mind most? What's the thing that holds you back from getting closer to Jesus? What's the thing you cling to for comfort, for security, for some sense of identity and worth? Is it the thing that's holding you back from Jesus? For Zacchaeus, it was money. It might be something totally different for you. But he's changed. Zacchaeus is so changed by Jesus that he has to respond. He has to do something about his life. And so he gives back half of his money. He gives it away to the poor. And he repays four times what he had taken from other people. And so to go from a man who'd been hoarding money, wherever he could get a little kind of extra cash here and there, he was just reaping it in. And he doesn't want to do that anymore. As he reaped all that in, it was because he lived in fear and rejection and loneliness. And he was like, I just need more money. This'll make me feel a little bit better. And as he experiences Jesus, he's like, that it means nothing to me. That doesn't make me feel better anymore. And so he literally opens up his arms. He gives it all away. And he says, I don't need that anymore. It's Christ and Christ alone for me. And that needs to be the cry of our hearts. The reality for me in my life, as I've just really reflected in this passage and really dug in and thought, God, what would you say to me? It's just been a reminder to me this week that there is not enough money in the world. There's not enough fame in the world. There isn't another relationship in the world that can satisfy my soul the way Jesus does. And nothing is worth putting in the way of that. And so I have to be willing to let that go. Whatever it is that's dazzling me, whatever it is that I think brings me security, it's only distracting me. It's just distracting me from Jesus. And it's keeping me back from a deep and intimate relationship with him. When we encounter Jesus, we're going to have our lives changed by him, and there's no going back. We are forever changed. And that might mean that we have to surrender some stuff, that we have to lay it down. I'm going to invite the worship team. They're going to come and lead us in a song in just a second, if you guys want to come and take your places. I want to just ask you, as you hear the story of Zacchaeus, is there a part of the story that you identify with? Is there a part of that story you think, yeah, that's kind of like me? Maybe you're like Jesus, or you're like Zacchaeus, and you've kind of heard about Jesus, and you think, yeah, I know loads of Christians, and I hear people say, oh, Jesus has changed my life, and I'm not quite sure what that is. I kind of come to church and think, so who is this Jesus guy? But actually, if there's any threat of him getting too close, you're like, I don't know. Jesus wants to meet you here today, if that is you. Maybe you're here and you need to know you're loved and accepted. Maybe you're here because you think you've slipped in and you don't really want to get too involved here, and you don't know how people will react to you here. Maybe you just need to know you're loved and accepted today. Know that Jesus sees you fully and he loves you fully. Maybe you need to put yourself out there on a tree. Zacchaeus was willing to take a risk of looking a bit stupid, let's face it, in front of the people around him. They weren't even his friends. And he was willing to put himself out there with a hope of seeing Jesus. Maybe you need to put yourself out there today. Maybe you just need to take that kind of step and be courageous and say, I do want to know Jesus. Maybe you just need to say, Lord, I'm lost and I need you. Today is the day to do that. He's here and he sees you. Perhaps there's a struggle within you, as I kind of chatted about that last little bit about the too much treasure. Maybe you want to follow Jesus. Maybe you see other Christians and you think, God, I wish I could go deep like that. I wish I could have that relationship with Jesus. But you know what? I don't know if I can give up this other thing. The thing that actually means a little bit more to me at times, or the thing that I find my identity and my security in. If Jesus Christ is to be Lord of our lives, then he needs to be Lord of every part of our lives. Even the messy bits. So what part of your life or your lifestyle might you need to surrender to Jesus today? What part of your life might you need to say, Jesus, I'm going to give this up because I want to come close to you. And it's not worth it. What's the vain things that charm you most? Do you need to sacrifice them to him? As I've been kind of preparing this week and praying, I just have this real sense of someone, maybe more than one person, and you're afraid. It's like you're on the edge and you see what life could be like with Jesus. But you're like, but Lord, what if I leave that stuff behind? What if I step forward with you? I don't know what my life will look like if I give up this part. Jesus says, just come to me. Just trust him. There's nothing worth more. And he deserves our all. Will you stand with me as we pray this morning? Lord, we thank you for the reminder in this story that we are fully known and fully loved. Lord, even when we feel that we're on the fringes, even when we feel like no one else sees us or cares about us really, that you see us, you know us, you love us, you accept us as we are. Lord, I pray for every heart that just desires to know you and to know your love. Lord, by your Spirit, would you just reach out and touch those hearts today? Would you just speak into those lives? Lord, for those of us who wrestle with creating our own sense of security, with building our own lives around us, sometimes at the cost of our discipleship. Lord, would you just open our hands today and allow us to let go of that stuff? Would you let us be like Zacchaeus and say, it's worth nothing. It's Christ and Christ alone for me. And we just give that to you, Lord, because you are worth it all. You are worth everything that we have. Lord, I pray you come by your Holy Spirit today and would you change lives forever. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.